How much time till we're on?
Ron, Ron!
What?
We're on the air right now.
I'm ready. Good evening, I'm Ron Burgundy. Here's what's going on in your world tonight.
The new, refined, 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
That is correct. And welcome to the Wednesday night edition of Sports Day. Jason Matthews here, and across from me, Scotty Sattler. Scotty, oh, you've lost your big hunk of spunk. It's not working. Hello, Satsy. How are you tonight?
That's what happens when you work with amateurs out there, listeners.
Do you want to walk around and have a look at my screen right now? It's gone white. So I don't know how the rest of the show is going to go. So it's... Yeah, it's looking pretty healthy. Anyway, welcome to the show. It's going to be a big one tonight, Sats. I'm very excited because we get to talk tonight to the Golf Whisperer, the greatest golfing commentator this country has ever produced. We'll ask him. I don't know how many majors he has been to and commentated and whispered on the greens. He covers LIV Golf for SEN with Rat. He was there when Rat caught that hole in one. Well, he was holding the team together.
Yeah.
He was the professional one, right? Yeah. Paddy Welsh, former Channel 7 sports director. He was at Channel 7 for like 48 years in Brizzy. He's on SEN with Pat, with Ian Healy every morning. He'll join us. We've got some questions we want to ask Ree, the fifth major kicks off this weekend.
Players' Championship.
Yeah.
Friday morning, our time.
Yeah. But is it? Is it? Does it still hold the, I don't know, the
prestige?
Yeah, because.
Because of LIV?
Yeah, five past winners can't compete because they play LIV Golf now, including Cam Smith. So we'll have a chat to Paddy about that tonight. We've got plenty of rugby league news to get through. I wouldn't miss it. Scott Sattler's here.
He's such a big hunk of spunk.
I like her on maths, Lucinda. Her and Tim.
We're not talking about maths, are we, this early?
Her and Tim. He's a dude, Tim. I like him. Stands up for himself. Doesn't take any crap from the... The quick do your jazz hands. Can you do a voice?
Guys!
So he hammers them really, really. And then Lucinda has calmed him down a little bit, has centered him.
Yeah.
Found his soulful side.
You know, I find I get a bit, for those who don't watch maths, Tim's, 51, a bit cranky. He's had a pretty crap last 6 months.
His father passed away.
But what about the note his father left him? Remember that?
Yeah.
Can I share it? It was on TV. His father basically told he hates him.
Yeah.
And that was a note he left. Like that's got to be hard to come back from, right?
Absolutely.
So anyway, both parents gone. He's got no one. Anyway, why are we talking about
exactly.
this? Let's talk about Damien, the putter pest, who's been on the text already.
Already?
0457 736 736. In Madge, we must.
Yeah.
I've got to do something. Do I have to trademark this?
Yeah, you do. Officially, yeah. Because no journos have picked it up yet, so.
Wow, there aren't any journos left. We're going to talk about that real soon too. Kevy going off today at a media conference. We'll get that. Hello to our listeners through the Super Radio Network, by the way. SEN stations, 1170 in Sydney, SENQ 693 in Brizzy. Track stations in Queensland and New South Wales, Fanatic, SEN app, and all of our listeners through New Zealand listening through SENZ. Great to have you on board. As well, we are here for the new refined 7-seat Kia Sorento. Beautiful vehicle. Geez, Kia make good-looking cars, don't they?
Yeah, well, I've got a Sportage sitting outside.
I love the colour of your car.
Jungle green.
I like it. And I love how you get dressed up as Rambo every day when you come to work.
Yep.
With the black stuff under your eyes.
A bit of cloth around my forehead.
A bit of tree in your hair, just so I can't find you. You know, a big bazooka. I love it. You're really,
carry that around every day.
What?
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Please. If you want to get involved, 0457 736 736. We've got a beauty tonight. It's kind of a bit of a trip down memory lane. You can text in New Zealand 28833 because we need your help. Or you can call anytime 1300 01 1170. When our Glenn celebrated his 64th birthday, we didn't hear from him.
Didn't hear from him at all. I'm a little bit concerned. Can we do a welfare check? On Glenn?
He did ring at
once. Sporty Gav lives in Newcastle, so maybe he can drop round next door.
Any of our 2HD listeners through in Newcastle, can someone go and just head down to the local bottle shop and see how Glenn's going? Could you? I'm betting he's asleep out the front. I'm betting he didn't make it home last night. No one's picked it up because it's rubbish. Matt Rogers on the text. What's he talking about?
Picked up what? Is he drunk also?
What's he doing? He'd be sitting on that Chesterfield couch with his cat.
And his pipe.
Yep.
Just on Rat, I saw I messaged him today about this. It was on X, Twitter, went out today from the Cronulla Sharks website or their footy club. In 1985 today, Steve Rogers played his last game for Cronulla.
Fair dinkum.
Yeah.
Wow.
But a really good trivia question.
Yeah.
He joined the Illawarra Steelers and was actually in their team photo, never played a game for them.
In 1986?
Must have. Rat, over to you. Yeah.
Call us, Rat.
Really good trivia question.
Rat, give us a call. The number, 1300-01-1170. Give us a yell. Can you confirm that? I know you're listening because you're texting. Number one song today.
The number one song today. So you've got how many acras in music?
Five.
Okay. So number one song today, 25 years ago.
So we're talking 1989.
Yep. Good maths. That was good.
I've
got it on my phone here. I'm about to play it.
Was it Kokomo?
No, good one. What movie?
Oh, that's Cocktail.
Cocktail, great movie. Elizabeth Shue. So can you remember the song? It's not an Australian.
Travelling Wilburys?
No, another good guess. Another good guess.
Hang on. Hold on to that. Let's get Rat involved. Rat, you're alive on air, so don't swear.
How are you, Rat?
I'm not going to swear.
Okay. How was work today, mate? You must have worked hard today in the truck.
No, he played golf today. Two over.
Did two over?
Two over. Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Not great today.
What happened? Let's get inside your head. What happened?
Oh, I had a couple of double bogeys.
Jeez. For the man who plays golf as much as you, how do you get a double bogey?
Yeah.
It happens, mate. It happens. But yeah. I just picked up my grandson from kindy.
Nice.
He loves his pop pop, don't you, mate? Yeah.
Does he call you pop? Pop pop, does he?
Pop pop.
Well, here we call you pop off.
So after 5 o'clock, right, picking him up from kindy, it's a little bit late.
Yeah,
Did you forget him?
Yes, I think so.
No, I was just laying by the pool, mate. I just wanted to relax.
You can't
relax with a 2-year-old running around the house.
So you really don't like kids at all? Is that what you're saying?
No. Nothing like that.
I'd love to spend time with my kid while he's at daycare.
I missed it. It went out.
What?
What went out?
What am I confirming? You said ring up and confirm.
Oh, so today, I messaged you today. 1985 was the great Steve Sludge Rogers' last game for Cronulla.
Yes, that is correct.
Is that
Belmore Sports Ground?
So is that when he broke his jaw?
I was a ball boy, 9 years old. I was about 20 metres away from him when Mark Bugden smashed his jaw into pieces.
Yep.
And he got carted off. He wasn't as tough as your old man, Sats. He had to come off.
Well, he was a glorified winger, your dad. So,
yeah.
But what I did say to the listeners, a good trivia question, which you actually educated me on, is that he actually signed with the Illawarra Steelers was that the 1986 year? He appeared in their team poster but never played a game for them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Got all the photos done before he went to England. Went over there to have a season for witness to get himself in shape because he didn't play the 85 season, obviously, with a broken jaw. And, just broke his leg in the first game against Wigan. Never played another game again, unfortunately. Sad way to finish for someone with such a decorated career who's a bit devastated by it.
Yeah, well, there you go. Thanks for confirming that.
Good trivia question.
And please don't invoice me for this phone call, right?
It doesn't come off one of your days.
I've just worked. This is another show. I'm putting it on the list.
And, Rat, before you go, in Madge we must.
Oh, mate, it's a rubbish. Mate, you don't have to trademark it.
That was a good one, actually. I'll give you that one.
Well, I was worried he's going to invoice us.
Okay, the song, number one.
And sorry, it's 1999, not 89. Yes, thank you, Steve. Number one song in 1999, on this day.
On this day, 25 years ago.
Not an Australian band. It's an overseas band.
Not an American band.
No, of course it's not. It's Oasis.
It's not. It's another good vote.
That's 2000 something. Yeah, go for it.
Okay, ready?
Here we go. This is great radio, folks. Proclaimers.
The Proclaimers.
Was this 99? This is 89.
35 years ago.
Oh, you said 35 years ago.
Yeah, 35 years ago.
Well, you said on air 25 years ago.
I said 35.
Look at the run sheet.
1989.
Look at the run sheet. That's why Steve's calling me a flog, because I'm saying 89.
The Proclaimers. 35 years ago today.
They had another hit too. What was the other one?
Yeah, because I've got that in my head, I can't think of it.
I'm on my way from misery to happiness today.
Uh-huh. It's a bit like me every day.
Uh-huh. Well done. That was really bad. Tonight, I love your little talkie we're going to do tonight, and we love you to get involved. And I want to hear from our New Zealand listeners too, because I want to hear who these little battlers. Can we do Aussie New Zealand battlers?
Absolutely.
So I don't want to leave out a Kiwi.
I've got to say, there are a lot of. This is on the back of Jeff Fenwick, who when I read today that he's been admitted to hospital with a mystery illness, mystery infection, and thoughts go to you, Jeff, and your family. Hope you're well. Now, he's meant to get a double hernia operation Monday, just gone, but they stopped that because something wrong with his heart and this mystery infection as well. So it got me thinking about Jeff, and I've had a lot to do with Jeff just through my father over many, many years. And if you had to epitomise, what epitomises the great Aussie battler? And the first person I think of when it comes to sport is Jeff Fenwick. Great story. Just turned up on the doorstep at this gym one day in Marrickville, Johnny Lewis. Wanted to train. A current Australian, I think, bantamweight sparring partner didn't turn up. So Jeff jumped in, did all these rounds with him. And he said, if you come back tomorrow, I'll train you. He came back the next day, never missed a training session from that day on with Jeff, Johnny Lewis. So he's a great story of a kid who just had to battle everything. Here, Vegas, conspiracy theories around results, reverse results against Azuma Nelson.
He got robbed,
Nelson.
Mate. He got robbed.
First game, first fight against Azuma Nelson. So it got me thinking about great Aussie battlers. And also when you talk about Kiwi, great Kiwi battlers, there's been so many great little Kiwi battlers as well. A lot of them in the horse racing industry as well. Some horses where they thought, I don't know whether they're going to go that great.
Farlap,
one of the... Yeah, no one wanted him.
What about modern-day boxer Jaya Pattaya?
Yeah, you know, when you talk about boxing as well, I could wax lyrical with Steve from Dubbo, but there's another Australian called Jeff Hitman Harding.
Yep.
One of the great Aussie battlers, like won one of the greatest fights that you'll ever watch against Dennis Andres in Atlantic City many years ago. So, great Aussie battlers, great Kiwi battlers as well.
In sport.
Yeah, in sport. And I suppose it's overachievers. People who just...
Okay.
Not really overachieved, but they just never go away when competing.
So my mind goes to rugby league and also cricket.
Yep.
I'll give you one from each and tell me whether you agree or disagree.
Yep.
Tommy Raudonikis.
Oh, stop the fight. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Mate, a guy that skill-wise had great skill. It was more about his competitive nature, but it was more about his ability to beat his opposition number seven. He got ruined with – they stayed at the Camperdown Travelodge for the Australian team. And Steve Mortimer had been picked. It might have been 78, 79. Steve Mortimer got picked and they got room together. Positions used to room together.
Yeah,
back
wow.
Then. And anyway, when he walked into the room, Steve Mortimer had his bag on the double bed, single bed. And so he walked over, he grabbed his bag, opened up the window, five stories up, and tipped his whole bag out the window. And Steve Mortimer said, "What did you do that for?" He goes, "Well, the last time I checked, I'm the incumbent Australian halfback. And while you're at it, make me a cup of tea."
Wow.
And Steve Mortimer said, "Do you have milk and sugar?"
How many?
Yeah. He's a good one. That's a good one, Tommy Raudonikis.
Steve Waugh. Now, a lot of people go, "Oh, no, he's probably our greatest skipper and greatest player." But I tell you why. He didn't have the style.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have the skills that his twin brother Mark had, did he?
No, he didn't.
Like, Mark Waugh could just... You know, amble out. He'd watch a horse race, then amble out to the crease.
Style wise, wasn't the prettiest style
no,
as well.
And he really had to battle for his spot in that team. He really had to. Like the amount of times he was in and out, or his spot in the team was in jeopardy. While Mark just cruised. Looked like he cruised through it. I'm sure he worked hard, but Tugger just absolutely had to fight and fight and fight for that spot in the Australian team, and he ends up being one of our greatest cricketers.
Yeah.
Who have you got? Anyone else? Any rugby league players?
Plenty of rugby league players, but I'm trying to look it out. So, like Andrew Lloyd, the 5,000-metre gold medalist in the 1990 Commonwealth Games, one of the great finishers I've ever seen in athletics. But here's one. It's not really a sport, Well, because she didn't compete in anything, but she competed against herself in the elements. Great Aussie battler, 16 years of age, Jessica Watson.
Yeah.
Sailing around the world as a 16-year-old.
You met her on that Kia ad.
Yeah. I thought she was someone from makeup.
Yeah.
Because she's just
a little sexist.
Little tiny diminutive.
So only people who do...
Only females do makeup.
Yeah, well, that's right. And well, diminutive.
Diminutive.
What?
But she was sitting there and I sort of walked across and so do we get makeup? I'm not quite sure. And I looked across. As I got close, I went, oh, that's Jessica Watson.
That's rude. It's Did she rude. Still do your makeup though? Like, no. Sure, Scott. Slats. Let me put some lipstick on you. Hey, listen. 1990, just say, listen, I know everyone that Sats gave me the wrong year. He initially told me 35, but on the run sheet says 20. Anyway, whatever it was, he set me up for failure. My maths is good. My maths is good.
I love our listeners.
It's the most brutal place to work. Okay.
I love it when they call you a flog. It's so good.
It's not that good. Mm. It's not good for my mental health. When you think of an Aussie or Kiwi battler in sport, who comes to mind is a great one here from Cam. Stephen Bradbury's story is underrated.
Yeah.
What he went through before getting that gold is phenomenal.
So,
I went to a function and he was speaking. He was surprised how good the story was.
So I was a guest speaker once, myself and Steve Bradbury, at a luncheon. And they said, you're going to go second, Steve Bradbury's first, because you've got to get on a flight to go home early. I said, yeah, no worries, okay. And they said, okay, Steve Bradbury's going to be late, so you're going to go first. I went, oh, that's okay. I mean, how interesting could a Winter Olympian be? He got up after me and brought his gold medal and throws it into the crowd, the first person sitting in the front row, and says, you know, this is what my story's about. One of the best guest speakers I'd heard in a long, long time.
And remember you, Rat, and I, we did an outside broadcast at the Sporting Globe at Logan?
Yeah.
I think we had him on that day.
Yeah, we did.
And, mate, can I just say, he's got an amazing beer as well.
Yeah, he's got his own beer. Yeah, he has too.
The name of it escapes me at the moment. I'll Google it in the ad break.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing beer.
Mm.
So he's having a fair dinkum crack because he's a Logan boy.
Yep.
He's having a fair dinkum crack at everything he does. Jessica Watson says 798. Aussie battler, please, grew up in an ivory tower. Did she? And she's still doing makeup.
Grew up in an ivory tower. Well, she comes from a... From all reports, obviously, you'd have to be a wealthy family to be in sailing and to do a project of that nature. But I don't care. At 16 years of age, I didn't even have hair down there. Like, she's... and she,
what?
Like,
what are you saying?
Like, at 16...
Should I get all break?
At 16...
No!
She's sailing around Australia, around the world by herself. Like, it's... Like, that's just unheard of.
I don't know what to say.
Well, what I'm saying is that... She's doing things at 16 when I didn't know I had body parts at 16, certain body parts.
David, I agree with you here, mate. Cliff Young, Aussie battler in 83, ran an ultra marathon. David from St. Ives, yeah.
Well, he won the Sydney to Melbourne, didn't he?
Yeah.
As well, yeah.
Potato farmer, the shuffler.
Yeah, he did.
Married a much younger woman too.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying that that's how fit he was.
Well, when everyone stopped for a rest, he just kept running through the night. Mm.
Rooster Muslims today. Well, would you say Jessica Watson's around the world trip was successful? Why is it?
No, successful.
Ah, successful. Yeah,
mm.
Yeah, it was.
Of course it was.
Okay, got to go to a break. Actually, we haven't even done anything yet. Quickly, Good Oil for Cobram Premium Australian Extra Virgin Olive Oil. JD, the South Sydney coach, Jason Demetrio, says he expects Jaiara to come back in about 4 weeks and have surgery at the end of the season.
He's going to rehab process over the next 3 or 4 weeks just to strengthen his shoulder, but I'm more than confident he'll be back playing for the rest of the season.
The shoulder injury that needs surgery, but like a lot of players do, they play with it, you know, so, and I'm more than confident. There's been plenty of examples of players that have played in the past with it and had it done at the end of the season or had it done in 2 years' time, so he's got great range, he's got good strength, so I'm pretty confident he'll play.
My, how hard is he's injured it in Vegas? How hard is that going to be for him to try and get through an entire season before having surgery?
Well, they're saying it's a rotator cuff, which is a pretty important part of your shoulder. And if you do get surgery, basically a lot of the time it's the most of the season. I think you'd rather get a knee reco than a rotator cuff surgery. But What's going to be really interesting is when they're obviously going to try and build up everything around it to try and strengthen all the areas around it. He said he's got good rotation. He can lift his arm up without any pain. But when he comes back, it's sort of 4 to 6 weeks after you come back. That's when you start losing a lot of strength in it, and you start losing a lot of confidence, and then you start missing tackles, and it starts playing with your mind a little bit, and your form can drop. So I hope he gets through, but it's a long season when you carry such a significant injury like he's got. Well done, but tough.
Oh.
Yeah.
I hope he gets through the season. I really do. And I wouldn't risk it playing Origin this year, Jai. I'd make myself unavailable for Origin. Use that time to rest your shoulder and don't turn up for Queensland this year. That's all I'm saying. Hey, listen, the other thing, big game tomorrow night. You can catch it on SEN, live coverage from 6 o'clock. Actually, Sports Day will be coming to you live from Suncorp tomorrow. Just a coincidence, the Bunnies are playing. That's why we're there. And taking on the Broncos. This is going to be a massive game. Kevy says they're focusing on their defence.
One of the traits of our side is our speed and our athleticism. So... yeah, that'll come into play tomorrow night at some stage, for sure. But we get our defence right, and everything else, our attack, will flow off the back of that. So it's a big defensive focus for us tomorrow night.
Well, it needs to be, because I thought the Broncos were really disappointing against the Roosters in Vegas. And, yeah, the start of the season, defence is so important, but start of the season, you've got to get that right at the start of your season, like Melbourne were last week. Against the reigning premiers, the Panthers. So, you know, with the Brisbane Broncos, I think they're going into this game in a healthier position than what Souths are.
Mm.
Still no Jack White and Campbell Graham gone for a long time.
I hope Richie Kenner has done a lot of tackling practice at training this week, because Katoni Staggs is going to run at him all night.
Yeah, he was disappointing Richie in defence and. Admittedly,
he wasn't disappointing, Sats.
He's more of a winger than he is a centre, and centre's a difficult place to defend. So he did. He got found out on a number of occasions. So, yeah, they've got to watch out, Souths, here. I mean, Latrell and Cody and Damien Cook and Cam Murray, all the usual suspects, and especially Lachlan Nilius, they really need to stand up, because... Because it potentially could get ugly if the Broncos are on.
Kevy said to journalists before the media conference, I don't want to talk about Ezra Mam. I don't want to talk about the Spencer Linu suspension. I don't want to do anything like that. But what do journos do?
JT's comment, I know you don't want to talk, but Jonathan Thurston made a comment about that he thought it should have been more. Can you offer an opinion on that?
Yeah, didn't I say before I don't want to make any comment about
it? Yes.
I don't want to talk about the suspension or anything about it. Well, do you watch training? What do you think?
I'm not an expert.
He's been fine. He's been good. He's ready to go.
I know you don't want to talk about it, but I'm going to ask you the question. And the second reporter there was saying, how's he been at training? And
Kevy
Hip, and Kevy Hits. He said, well, you watch training. What did you say? He goes, well, I'm not an expert like you.
But the response was, I'm not an expert like you. Well, why are you reporting on rugby league?
That's right.
You know, so, and...
And by all reports, that's Ezra Mam trained the house down.
Yeah, what does actually mean? How do you actually train a house down?
Well, there's no house left now.
Yeah, so, but with the suspension, I mean, it's a redundant question, because they know coaches can't comment on it, so...
Hey, that beer, by the way, from Stephen Bradbury is...
465, just text in. Yeah.
Last Man Standing.
Great name.
Good drop. Mm. We should get him on as the official beer of Sports Day. We've got KFC, we've got Cobram, olive oil. If we can get Last Man Standing.
We're set. We probably won't leave the office.
Yeah, we're not going to say that about Dobbo.
Yeah.
Right?
He's a friend of ours.
Yeah, he is. All right, Sports Day. That's the good oil for Cobram Estate.
We've got plenty of text here about Battlers.
Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil, grown, harvested, and first cold pressed in northern Victoria. We'll get back to those Battlers in a moment. This is Sports Day.
The new refined 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back in a moment. Brought to you by PointsBet's new NRL experience.
George Rose joining us now for PointsBet, Satsy.
Yeah, Georgie, it was a big weekend last weekend. A couple of upsets, I thought. Now, the Dragons against the Gold Coast Titans in round one, they were so dominant. But is it true to say there's some punters out there that are keen to get them on top eight?
Well, do you know what? It was one of them games, I reckon, leading into it, that they're teams that you don't know how they're going to go. Every year, they're the same thing. What are we going to get from the Titans? What are we going to get from the Dragons? The Dragons showed us that they've got a big year ahead of them. And as a result, all the punters have got behind them. Obviously, all the Dragons loyalists have jumped on. They've backed them into heavy favourites to... Well, not heavy favourites. They've shortened them up well and truly to make the top eight. And not only that, Tyrell Sloan has shortened in from 500 odd into very, very small odds for try scorer of the year.
Yep.
And rightfully so. He scored a hat-trick in round one.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's not bad. Mate, got a Sunday Maldi for us this week, have you?
Yeah, look, I do. I've got a... We've got the Broncos and the Rabbitohs coming up. First game of the round. I think it's a pretty good game. You know, both teams should have got the win first round, didn't get there. But I really like the Broncos in this one at home. I reckon total match points over 40.5. And I reckon Cody Walker anytime try scorer for the Rabbitohs because he's an absolute competitor. And I reckon Reece Walsh for the Broncos just because Reece Walsh is Reece Walsh. Expect a try from him every week, don't you?
Yeah, sure do. Georgie Rose for PointsBet. We'll catch up with you tomorrow night, mate. If you like George Rose's same game multi, make sure you check out pointsbet.com.
Brought to you by PointsBet's new league experience. Now even better this NRL season. What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. We're back. The new, refined, 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Welcome back to the show. Scotty Sattler, Jason Matthews here tonight. Paddy Welsh, the golf whisperer, the greatest voice in not just Australian golf, but I tell you what, he'd be up there in world golf as well. He'll be joining us at the start of the next hour because we're going to unpack the unofficial fifth major, which kicks off this weekend, the Players' Championship.
Jason and Day won it, what, 2016, I think it was?
He's still in the field.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, very interesting indeed. Your text, 0457-736-736, 8833 in New Zealand, or call us 1300-01-1170. Josh is accusing me of being a fake Souths fan. He says Richard Kenner will be marking Cobbo. Richie
scored two tries
on the left.
And Cobbo
plays on the left.
Yeah, he historically plays on the right. And
no, hang on.
Is
Cobbo on the right or the left?
Sorry, Cobbo. Cobbo plays on the left. He's left centre with Jesse Arthurs.
So are we right in suggesting that...
Yeah, Richie Kenner, unless South swap sides, but Richie Kenner will mark Katani Staggs.
Yeah, rightio. Look, those sporting Aussie battlers and New Zealand battlers. Who comes to mind? God, a lot of text coming through here, Sats.
We've got 127 says Kurt Fearnley. Can't agree more. What about Jason McCartney? Of course, North Melbourne AFL player who was part of the Bali bombing as well and came back and played as well. Who can remember that memorable match, that last match he ever played and kicked a goal as well in that game with all his the burn wraps on as well, playing with the protective equipment. What about Justin Langer and Alan Border, Brett says? I'll throw one up there as well, Brett, and I agree with you, but just... And David Boone, purely because of their size. Tiny men going up against, you know, some of the greatest fast bowlers we'll ever see in the history of this game. You know, first it was Border and that West Indian lineup, which had six or seven fast bowlers. Two of the fast bowlers couldn't get inside most series. And then Langer and Boone was a part of that era as well. But then Langer came through the Curtly Ambrose era as well. So, yeah, just how tiny they were, Brett. So I agree with you.
And not only was AB a battler, he was also courageous and cranky. All the same. Speaking of little and a battler, and I'm not... No, no.
Oh, okay.
No, tinier.
You're tinier than Rat.
Yeah. Andrew McCulloch, our colleague here.
Yep.
All jokes
aside.
The tall dwarf. Yep. I don't know if you can say that.
Okay. Sorry.
Can
you cut that out?
Yeah, I will. Yep. But he played over 300 NRL games.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
You know, and he wasn't...
And with the hooking position, you know, requiring someone who's super quick and, you know, darts out of dummy half, like he was just the rock that held teams together. Lads, this is St. Boyd listening in 2HD, Newcastle. Glenn is still holding, enjoying his birthday. I just went and checked on him. He's in a huge Arabian tent on Stockton Beach with his harem fanning and feeding him. Good to hear. Great to hear.
He's wearing a nappy.
Mm.
Hey, here's one from Stu in Brisbane, and I've sent a couple of texts for this, an outstanding suggestion. Couple of Kiwi League battlers.
Yep.
Olsen Filipina. Tick.
Yep.
Massive, right?
We've got another text there saying a pioneer. He was. He paved the way.
Yep. He did. And, geez, he just got under Wally's skin and belted Wally, didn't he? And not a lot of people did that.
No.
And the other one, Clayton Friend.
Clayton Friend. He has a good little halfback, Clayton Friend. He's a little bit like, he was the Kiwi version of Tommy Radonigus. You know, not like had great skill like Tommy did, but everything he did was just through purely his competitive streak and having just to get over his opposition player. Now, Paul Bowman says 798.
Yep.
Had a great Origin career as well. And Steve, who, of course, I said earlier on, loves his boxing and he's got a great nomination here. And it's a great story. If you love Australian history and sport, or if you love boxing, there's a book about Lionel Rose, who, of course, went over and won a world title in Japan against the great Fighting Harada. And he came back on the plane and there was 100,000 people. He thought the Beatles were in town. They didn't realise it was for him. He was the biggest battler of all. Yeah, he said he lived on a dirt floor. Now, he learned how to box where there was four trees and they put wire around the trees. That was the ring. That was the ring ropes. Yeah, so, good shout out there, Steve. Yeah, so... If you're a Kiwi, who's the great Kiwi battlers that have in sport and also Aussie battlers as well? And this is on the back of Jeff Fenwick, who's had unfortunately go to hospital with a mystery infection or illness, whatever it may be. Send a shout out to him. But he is what epitomised one of the great sporting battlers.
Yeah, well said, Sats. 0457 736 736. 8833 if you're in New Zealand or 1300 01 1170. Sports Day, back in a mo.
The new, refined, 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back in a moment. We're back. The new, refined, 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. Time for opinions that inspire. Thanks to the new refined 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. Sats, I like what you've thrown up today, and I need you just to explain it and dumb it down a bit for me, but here is the subject. Is the salary floor hurting rebuilding clubs?
So your first question is, what's a salary floor?
Yeah.
So it's a salary cap in the NRL. So you get for 2024, for argument's sake, it's about $11.5 million. Okay, all the clubs get that. Plus they get extra $17 or $18 million so they can spend on their football department as well, same amount for each club, their NRL football department. Now, out of that $11.6 million, you've got to go and sign players for your top 30. And if you don't sign the players you want, you'd think, oh, well, we've got a lot of money left over in the salary cap. But the floor is, the salary floor, whether talking about the basement, is that you've got to spend 95% of that salary cap. You can't hold any over for the following year. So you might have $11.5 million and next year you might have $12 million because you've got $500,000. It doesn't work that way. You just lose it and you start again. So what the argument is that the salary floor they're talking about, you've got to spend 95%. It's allowing the stronger teams to sign players for less because you're going to play finals and play rep footy possibly, and the struggling clubs have got to pay a lot more to players that aren't worth the money that they're on. So it's, I suppose, to use an example, and you brought up this player, so Luke Brooks.
Yeah.
You know, coming off contract, he goes to Manly. He's on $1 million, you know, for argument's sake, at the West Tigers for a number of years. And then goes to Manly for a lot, for what we're led to believe a lot less. Okay, so, and that's a deal that based on the way that he's been playing and hasn't played finals before, it's probably on the mark. He's Manly are probably on the money. They've probably got the right guy for the right money. And the way that he played the 2 weeks ago, I think it's right. But it's trying to stop. How do you stop the good clubs from undercutting by saying, and let's just use this as an argument. An example would be the Melbourne Storm.
Yeah.
You're going to play finals every year. Mostly you're around the top four.
Yep.
There's a chance you'll play representative rugby league.
Great system.
A great system, great coach, great city to live. On the market, you could be worth anywhere around $500,000 for argument's sake. But because of all those areas I just mentioned, we're only going to offer you $400,000. And a lot of players might go, you know what, I'm going to forego that and I'll take less money there. That means they've got more money to use on their top line players, their marquee players, and I'm going to go there and have success. And then when I finish my contract there, I'm going to be worth more on the market because I've been at Melbourne.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and you and I spoke about this off air, and I think the only way to probably, if they're going to make us spend 95% or, and how are we going to strengthen the lower place clubs to get them into the market to buy marquee players? Bulldogs have got a good one in Stephen Crichton. Absolutely. I think they'll continue to improve. Josh Adokar and co. West Tigers have been in the market. They've signed a couple of good players and they've got a good one in Jerome Luai next year. So the argument is that the salary cap's working, but we still have had a lot of clubs that have been down that bottom half of the competition for a long time.
Titans is a great example.
Yeah. So I know we talk about draft. I'm not a fan of the draft in rugby league purely for the, you know, the 17, 18-year-olds like the AFL do.
But that's the rookie draft.
That's the rookie draft. So that's where clubs, you got to develop your own players.
Yep.
Okay? You can't stop that. And a rookie draft would do that. But a senior draft, I think, may be the way to go. And what I mean by that is that if you're a player that's coming off contract, let's say it's Luke Brooks, and let's say his minimum salary, his minimum contract salary, if you want to start negotiations, is $600,000.
And he has to lodge that with the NRL.
Lodges that. And then you go into a senior draft. If you're coming off that year. So Joey Manu this year, for example. If he can't agree to a deal with his current club and he goes into this senior draft, Team 17 gets the first option. And they may say, yeah, can't fit him in our salary cap. We've got too many top-heavy players.
I love it.
Let's go Team 16. Nah, we can't fit him in either. You might end up getting a team that's Team 10 that goes, you know what, we've got some room. We can negotiate.
Mm.
And then the negotiation starts. You maybe do it in a trade window through the origin period. You may do another one through the finals period and a week after the season finishes.
The one thing, though, let's say it was Brooks, he set a $600,000 minimum, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would stop, and this is what I love about this, that would stop the Melbourne Storms. And again, we're only using this as an example. Yeah. Not saying this is happening, but that would stop the Melbourne Storm coming and say, listen, we've got a great system. Come and play for us for $500.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, the player can nominate $500, which would be stupid.
I think it's worth looking at.
Absolutely.
I think it's definitely worth looking at. So Jerome Luai coming off contract this year.
Yeah.
If he can't come to an agreement with Penrith, he can go into the senior draft.
Yep.
And the argument will be, oh, what happens if you've got a young family and you've got to move states or whatever?
Well, everyone does that every day.
Mm. So
that's the real world, right?
Yeah, suck it up.
You have to move around for job opportunities. Yeah. Well, you don't have to. You can stay.
Yeah.
No one's forcing you to, yeah. No, I like it, Sats. What do you think? 0457 736 736. 8833 is our text if you're in New Zealand or 1300 01 1170. The new refined 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. I don't know what happened then. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. Break time. More of your text when we come back.
The new, refined, 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back in a moment. We're back. The new, refined, 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. I've just dropped my headphones on the floor. Sats and Jake's here.
How do your headphones fit on your head, actually? It's always been a great question.
They've been stretched.
Mm-hmm.
They've been absolutely. Now I've lost the sound. I don't know what's going on.
We can hear you. That's all that's important.
You can hear me?
Yep.
That's all that is important. 0457 736 736 is our text number. If you want to shoot us a text, or 8833 for those in New Zealand, or you can send us, give us a call, 1300 01 1170. Turtle from Tweed, you want to talk about the Titans, mate?
Yeah, how you going, Thor?
Good, Turtle.
That's the way. Mate, I just thought that their first game the other night where they played against the Dragons, organised with a mate who's a Dragon supporter, have a few beers and watch it. And, they're very disappointing. They defended well in the first half in a way, but they had so much possession. And what was frustrating for me was when they got in that 22, the quarter line, attacking the line, they were so predictable. Mm. You know, they had no inside runners coming in. And to me, if you get inside that 22-yard line, you've got to pick up the pace of everything you're doing. Mm. Yeah, like, I know it's only first round, but I just... And then later in the... They actually scored their first try from someone cutting in from the other side of the field.
And they did too, yeah.
And scoring the other side. But I know they missed... They did really miss four, and I don't know if they've got too many talkers out there on their side, you know, like, but when I sent half back, and he was kicking the ball, you know, in the last tackle, and I even seen, you know, the Dragon centres were back 5 metres knowing that this is going to happen. And even when the ball went to the fullback, there was no contesting of the ball. Mm. Even they knocked it back with their hand to start something, but I just thought it was too robotic to me what they had in that first half. I know they got pulled up over the line a few times, held up, and yeah, but I think they just didn't have that spark.
Yeah,
I don't
know
what you
think, right.
But
no, you're right, Turtle. Thanks for your call, mate. We've got to go.
Questions. They didn't put any defence under any pressure at all, but they'll be different with Fifita, Jaden Campbell, and Foran when they come back. You put a lot of trust in Desi to get them right, I think.
Hey, 465 sent us a text from sporting battlers from either Australia or New Zealand, Andre Agassi. And Big G says he loves our idea regarding the senior player draft. Oh, Sats, we've got Russell from Kellyville standing by. We'll have a chat to him after the break.
Absolutely.
He's got something he wants to add to it as well, but... I think this has got legs, and it's another chance to get eyes on the game.
Mm.
Massive opportunity.
Commercialise it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Oh, you know who will be all over that? You know who?
Rugby league.
Yes. Break time. This is Sports Day. Back in a moment for Kia.
The new, refined, 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back in a moment. The new, refined, 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, welcome back to it. Second hour of the show. Big one coming up. We've got the greatest man to commentate golf on the planet. Well, maybe second to Ian Baker Finch. What do you reckon? Paddy Welsh. The Whisperer, the Golf Whisperer, joining us very shortly, standing by to have a chat to us. We don't know what's going on with Liv and the PGA, and of course the Players' Championship starting this weekend. We want to get to the bottom of it.
Have you watched Full Swing yet? The second series?
No.
On Netflix?
No.
Great doco.
Yeah, the first one was pretty good.
Yeah.
Geez, really those guys are just so down to earth and so relatable, aren't they?
Living in Jupiter, Florida.
Oh, unbelievable. Private jets everywhere. Unbelievable. 0457 736 736 is our text number. 8833 if you're in New Zealand, or 1300 01 1170 is our number. We're talking about the draft earlier. Russell from Kellyville, very quickly, mate. You've got a suggestion for Sats and I on our idea of a senior draft.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I was thinking you could even give State of Origin players a level that makes their 600-grand plays, and the kangaroo jersey make it a 700-grand player. So people, you know, that instead of nominating their own, you could actually have those levels as the best players, so they pay a higher amount. So they go on the draft and into the draft at that minimum amount. So then, you know, they've got a number. They're not giving it themselves.
Russell, I think if you play continuous test match footy and State of Origin, the NRL put a they put a figure on your head of how much you would be worth on the open market. And they do that now. Like, so if you sign for a club for $200,000 less, the NRL will look at that and go, no. You've played 10 Origins in the last 4 years,
right.
And you're one of the top line centres. No, we're not going to register that contract. So I get where you're coming from. I actually like it. I like it as well. If you're a repetitive representative player, obviously you're going to be high on the market anyway. So yeah, I like it. But I like the idea.
Even if you're a grand final player.
Mm.
What about if you're a grand final player? You know, you play the grand final or something like that. You could even be worth a minimum amount of $400,000 or something. I just think it's hard when you get players putting their own figures on their own heads. Another idea.
And as players hit, say, the age of 30, maybe you
starts,
get
well starts dipping a bit.
Well, yeah, and you get it like a compensation, like a retirement. I don't know, some sort of funding as well.
Well, there are some different areas in the salary cut
a discount
that allows for dispensation, but yeah.
All right, Russell, got to go, mate. Thanks for your call, buddy.
That's a great idea, guys.
Thank you, mate.
Thanks, Russ.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You can hear this bloke every morning on breakfast with Ian Healy.
Oh, I thought you meant Glenn.
On SNQ. it's Sport on the Go for Keno Go. Keno Go's $40 million jackpot. Download the app now. In fact, I better check with Paddy to see if he was the winner. One lucky Queenslander just landed a massive $200,000 on Keno Go. It's a Cairns guy, 46 years of age. How good is that, boys? Nice. Paddy Welsh, welcome to Sports Day.
He's already in paradise in Cairns. What does he need the money for?
Well,
down here.
I read this, Paddy. He said he's planning a holiday. Why would you want to leave Cairns?
The Rattle and Hum Bar, one of the great bars up there on the Esplanade.
You know what I love about Cairns, Paddy, and you've spent a lot of time around Queensland.
The Woolshed.
And you're a Bundy boy, so you're a fan of warm weather and 4X and Bundy and all that sort of stuff. Cairns is lawless. That's why I love it. You can do whatever you like up there. Can't you, Paddy?
You pretty much can, too, can't you?
Mm. Yes. Mate, we got you on. We want to talk about PGA, Live, all that sort of stuff. And Sats raised a good point. We were talking about it earlier, Sats, weren't we? Like, Players' Championship. Like, we didn't even know it was on this weekend, Paddy.
You didn't.
Well, it's not front and centre, right? It's
not like it used to be.
Has it lost its lustre?
I'm hoping not. But as you well know, Sats, it's been called the fifth major for time immemorial. And you've got a question, is it now? Because this week we go in without five former winners. Cameron Smith, as recent as 2 years ago, Garcia, Mickelson, Stenson and Kiemer won't be playing because they've been indefinitely banned from the PGA Tour because they're with Liv. And then you take away the Liv players already contracted in DJ, Rahm, Koepka, Neiman, DeChambeau. I mean, there's pretty much a who's who of golf right there that aren't showing up this week. So, yeah, look, I've got to say there's got to be a big question mark as to right now whether we can call it the golf's fifth major.
Now, two questions here, Paddy. One is what Aussies. I saw Jason Day was – I can't remember who he was paired with, but Jason Day is obviously playing. And also what are other Aussies? And Tiger. Is Tiger participating as well?
Yeah, and this is going to be tough for him because it's not an easy walk, this course. We'll just see how the whole leg situation is holding up again. We know he's had his dramas. You know, he pulled out of Riviera because of the flu. So there was a reason for that. Let's just see whether this holds up to the league because this can be a real tough walk, this one. We'll have our usual suspects. We'll have the Cam Davises, et cetera. We'll have Adam Scott as a previous winner. But we won't have Cam Smith, unfortunately. Min Woo will be there as well. So we'll have a good representation. But, sadly, I love this to be it's called the Players' Championship for a reason because this is the players' event. And this is the one where the PGA Tour boss, Jay Monahan, delivers his State of the Union address, which he's done. And there is so much history about this event. And yet it just seems to be lacking a little bit of luster this week because of that. Jace, I heard you talking about where are we at. Well, he's giving nothing away, Jay Monahan. He's saying the negotiations with Liv, to quote him, are accelerating, which that sounds good. But he's giving nothing more. He says we still want to unify the sport. We have a shared vision to quiet the noise, and we know what the noise is, and to unlock golf's worldwide potential. So Like, everything that is coming, is spilling from their mouths is noble, and yet nothing really has been done yet, and including what is happening with the world golf ranking. So Smith now is down to 54 in the world.
Mm.
You know, his chances of playing in Paris are remote.
Mm. Right.
We know Scotty probably won't accept the invite to Paris. He's mostly been pretty staunch in his, you know, maintenance that the four majors are the ones that he targets. He doesn't target the Olympics. Whether Jason Day will go, I don't know. He's our highest ranked Aussie. That leaves, you know, maybe Min Woo, and then probably, and you know, maybe Cam Davis, because if Cam Davis continues to play well, he goes past Cameron Smith soon.
Yeah,
I mean,
right
at the moment, I think there's only three or four spots on the, you know, like Cam Smith has gone to 54, and I think Cam Davis is around about 58 or something. So he goes past him, and, you know, if they stick to their criteria, the Australian Olympic selectors, well, you know, we're gonna see an Olympic team without Cameron Smith, who was desperate to wear the green and gold again.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it's sad.
It is sad. It is. Yeah. What's the sticking point, Pat? In your opinion, why can't they get the deal done?
Well, because the OWGR, the Official World Golf Rankings, which is the one that is universally recognised. So, if you're in the top 50 of that for a start, you get into all the majors. You know, that's just even the Masters. That's just automatic entry. So the further you slip away from the top 50, the less and less relevance you have as far as world golf is concerned, as in PGA Tour and DP World Tour. And the OWGR won't recognise the LIV tournaments because they say that they're a select event, 54 players, no cut, et cetera, et cetera. And so their justification for their decision is that. LIV have put up submission after submission, and as far as I know now, Norman has just thrown his hands in the air and said, you know, ne'er the twain shall meet as far as LIV and the Official World Golf Rankings are. So right at the moment, they're just going to continue to slide because they go week in, week out without making any points. Whereas these guys this weekend are playing for just about 38 million Australians.
Jeez.
There's 6.8 million to the winner. So now all of a sudden they're playing for live money.
Mm. Yeah.
It's sad. And we have a wonderful record in this event. I mean, aside from Smith, Day's won it, Scott's won it, Elkington's won it twice. Norman won it when he was absolutely at the peak of his powers. He tore Sawgrass apart.
Mm.
And, you know, he won it by a streak. So we have a wonderful Australian tradition at this golf tournament, and yet we ain't going to see our best player there.
Paddy, what does LIV and PGA need to do to come together? Why haven't...
Probably
I mean,
$1 billion.
Mm.
But is there a reason why it hasn't come together yet? Is it the teams thing?
Well, there's a lasting antagonism from the PGA Tour players that didn't go to LIV. Well, how are we going to welcome them back when they've all got 100, 100, 200, 300 million in the bank?
Yeah, and they've missed out.
And it's really...
that's what it comes down to. That's the crux of the matter. That, you know, how is this going to be solved when Cameron Smith reportedly got 140 to sign, which was close enough to 200 Australian to sign? And I've said it before, you know, and we don't know for sure that things are right, but look, they're never too far away from being pretty accurate. And I've spoken to his agents, and they've just said the sort of money that he's making is multi-generational changing. In other words, his kids, their kids, and their kids pretty much can put the feet up for the rest of their life, because one guy who could swing a golf club pretty well and won a major and, you know, possibly can win more, has set them up for their lives.
Yeah, Paddy, I don't know whether you've seen that new season of Full Swing, but it plays out really well on the new season of Full Swing on Netflix about the LIV and the PGA and how staunch of a flag bearer that Rory McIlroy has been for the PGA, where he actually comes out and says, I hate LIV. But when the discussions between the PGA and LIV start playing out in the media, where none of the PGA players were told about it, like, Rory McIlroy is openly filthy about the negotiations.
Yeah, but that's there you're talking about, and I love Rory. And I love the way he plays, and he's a needle mover as far as watching golf. But there's a guy that signed a $100 million deal with Nike.
Mm.
So he hasn't got too many worries with his bank manager, has he? So no. he can afford to take that stance. There's a hell of a lot of kids out there that are, you know, struggling hand to mouth week to week. I know the absolute top echelon of the tour, they're all making a truckload of money.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a hell of a lot out there that aren't. So, yeah, it's a jealousy over money, and then we'll try and work it out. But they dared to defect. So, yeah, look, it's going to take a lot of money to sort this out, to tell you the truth, which Saudi Arabians have got plenty of money. We all know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Paddy, I'm looking forward to watching it this weekend. It's a shame that some of our best golfers in the world aren't there, but, you know, we'll still watch it because there's a lot of Aussies in the field. And, mate, good to know that, by the way, you're signed back on for LIV Golf this year. You'll be in the commentary box again for SEN, which is great news. And the great man, the greatest golfing commentator of all time.
Kevin's done that, and this is coming in nicely. Might be a little long. Oh, no, this is right next to the pin. Oh, this could go in. It's running, it's cracking. Hold it, one, Chase Kepka. The beers are absolutely flying onto the court.
Oh, mate, now, in all the years that you've commentated golf, and, Paddy, you're absolutely outstanding at it.
He's up there with Jim Nance, that call.
Have you heard anything quite like that, Paddy?
He just wishes he was on Jim Nance money, I can tell you. No, I haven't. And it was one of the best things I've ever seen. I've told the story 100 times. I mean, I was pretty cooked the first couple of days when I went out and did fairway the last day. And I'm with the leader, Taylor Gooch, who, you know, he saw his lead evaporate. We get to about 16. He's got about an 8-footer for par, and the lead could go to one shot. And we're talking $6-8 million at stake here. And he's lined it up from every angle, gets there to finally get ready to pull the trigger, and all of a sudden, Sweet Caroline starts to blare out from the speakers right behind him. I thought, that's as good as I've seen. I've been to probably 35, 40 majors around the world, you know, whatever, and I've done every big event in Australia, and I've never seen anything like that. So, look, they loved it. The crowds in Adelaide absolutely loved it. It was a sellout every day. They put the concerts after play and all
I'm
that
sure
sort of
Taylor Gooch loved it.
It was pretty amazing.
I've got a text here from 133. He's going, I thought Rat was the best commentator in the world when it comes to golf. So, mate, I'm happy to announce, can I do the announcement tonight on Sports Day that Rat will be in Adelaide doing LIV Golf again this year for SEN, along with yourself, Paddy. Hey, mate, we appreciate it. We know it's dinner time. You've got to get up to work soon. Thanks for joining us on Sports Day, and we look forward to the Players' Championship.
Pleasure, guys. Yeah, it's always one of the great spectacles with the Island Hole at 17. You'll love it.
Beauty. Thank you, Paddy. There he goes. Actually, I read a crap stat. I heard Paddy do the stat this morning about something like 9,000 golf balls or whatever it is over the time or whatever it is have not made it onto the island on that 17th hole.
Oh, it's Sawgrass, yeah.
Yeah, it's in there, yeah. Hey, listen, this bloke, thanks, Paddy. This bloke's been ringing us all night. Adrian, what can we do for you?
Adrian.
Yeah. G'day, guys. Look, just on Canterbury, seriously, do you rate Cameron Serraldo as a coach? And what were your thoughts, before I talk about the side they picked this weekend, I can't believe it, what did you think of the fact that, you know, would that be the first time in the history you've ever seen a team never give up an offload? I just cannot believe that, you know, professional side in the most elite competition in the world, not one offload from what I can see. And, you know, leaving Addo Carr on the field. What do you make of Cameron Serraldo? He comes across as a complete myth to me.
No, Adrian, obviously they would have done their research, and I think Phil Gould knows a fair bit about him. Ivan Cleary believes he's a very good coach as well, and was ready to go into the next level of coaching. I've got faith in him purely because he's going to a club that needed to be turned upside down from a player recruitment point of view and also from a salary cap point of view, which they've done. And unfortunately for the fans like yourself, you can't be patient. You want to see success right away. But
What time frame?
Hang on, Adrian.
Wait, Adrian. We're having a conversation.
I think you got to look at 3 to 5 years.
Okay. Mm. All right. Sorry, Adrian.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, there's been no improvement, mate. I mean, Mick Potter did terrifically. Well, showed a lot of improvement in 2022. Last year went backwards. The game on the weekend was just so depressing to watch. I mean, it's insane. What sort of What sort of a threat do you become if you don't offload the ball? That's pathetic. It's under six stuff, under sixes. And the other thing is too, you look at the side. How does Blake Taff and Drew Hutchison stay on the, get in the run on side? How does Connor Tracy replace Ado Carr on the wing when he probably should be a great guy off the bench? And you probably should, yeah, Carraz is not a centre. Matt Burton is not a 5'8".
All right. Are we going to go through every player?
All wrong. Josh Curran was our best player last week.
Yeah.
He's not even the starting side.
Yeah. Well,
that's
good
just
news.
All wrong, and it's a
Adrian.
The roster of the team.
Hello.
Has been pathetic the last 3 years, and that's on Gould.
Yeah, it has been pretty ordinary, but they've made some wholesale changes, which they had to do.
Max King extended today till 2028.
Yeah, and you know, I think Connor Tracy.
Yeah, a good solid player, but
originally in the halves, Connor Tracy, and I'd be getting him back in.
And
the halves.
And by the way, you've just picked up a South front row immediately as well today.
Yeah.
Fafida.
No,
Fafida Sekula.
Just picked him up.
Yeah, okay.
But it just looks really depressing. I can't.
Well, no, Adrian, I mean, I'm getting a headache.
Against the Sharks, if they put that in performance in against the Sharks, you're talking like 40 plus.
All right, 40, Adrian.
Oh. And you were saying that they'd beat last year's Bulldogs side.
I think they would.
Yeah, they probably would in Golden Point. And last year's side was pathetic.
Well, you know what? At least it's a couple of steps forward.
I want to play the music, but I want to ask Adrian a question.
Couple of steps forward.
Hey, Adrian.
Yeah, what?
Fitzy wants to know, are you still madly in love with Ray Price?
Well, if you look at his playing record, I just want to say something about that. Everyone's mentioned Ron Coop from Immortal, and the very deserving.
Yeah.
But you know this. That.
Yep.
You look at the forward packs that Ron Coop was a part of at the Roosters and at South. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
He was part of amazing forward pack. Look at the one Ray Price had. Terry Lee.
Right now, I want Glendering.
Steve Sharp, Stuffy Stevens, people like that, mate. It's just totally different. He was the only
thing. I tell you, right now, I want to Glendering. Adrian.
Can I say, Adrian? I'd be putting Drew Hutchison the 13. I'll be putting Connor Watson in at six. I'll be putting Burton in the centres with Crichton, and I'll be putting Toby Sexton at half. For what it's worth.
Lester from Penrith says, I got the Adrian joke sats.
Cam says he thinks Adrian is a parking inspector. We thought he was an accountant. Didn't
now
we?
He is an accountant.
Mm.
Or no, real estate agent. He's a real estate agent.
Yeah.
He's back, isn't he?
Yeah.
What a wonder Adrian is. Flog, another dog supporter, Mr. Negative Tool Man. Serrato is a tool.
He's passionate.
Just saying. No, I love that. 619 says, Adrian, never-ending story. Sats, all the dogs are recruited as utilities.
You've
spoken about that a lot.
Yeah, they have.
You?
But sometimes the utilities can do a really good job for you from about the halfway mark all the way through the end of the season when you've got a lot of injuries.
Steve, the flog from Dubbo, says, I love it when Adrian puts the boot into Gus and the Bulldogs. That's the reason I kept him on. Absolutely outstanding.
Paul from Gundagai, we don't know, like with Cameron Seraldo, whether he's a really good assistant, whether he's going to be a really good head coach. But the only thing you can do is play really well in reserve grade as a rugby league player and like an assistant coach. And then all of a sudden you're that good. You're playing too good that you've got to be given a go in first grade. And then it's just see how you handle it at first grade. It's no different as an assistant coach to becoming a head coach.
Rooster Muzz says, somebody shoot me. Don't say that too loud, Rooster Muzz, because I reckon there's a few of our listeners who do want to do that. 708 says, it's Northern Beaches Hill. I love your style, Adrian. There's some support for Adrian.
Yeah, loves his passion.
And 585 says, Connor Watson, ?
Connor Watson. Oh, no, Connor Watson's at the Roosters.
And Fitzy says Daniel Saifidi to the Bulldogs, Fox to Newcastle.
Really? What?
158 says Adrian has the personality of a dead tree stump. Yeah, right. We've got to go to a break. This is Sports Day. By the way, Sport on the Go for Keno Go. How good's that? Hey, like 200 grand for a Cairns bloke.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
Straight
well
to the
done.
Woolshed.
One lucky Keno Go player has turned $2 into $200,000 in Cairns. What could $2 turn into for you? Keno Go. Download the Keno Go app today. Break time. This is Sports Day.
The new, refined, 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back in a moment. We're back. The new, refined, 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. Plenty of your texts coming through. We love them, and we will get to them. 0457 736 736.
Rabbit Burrows says Tugger Coleman was a true Aussie battler.
Oh, yeah.
Close to your heart.
Oh, Tugger. Didn't he battle? Mm-hmm. Absolutely he did. 465 wants to know, has Glenn woken up and surfaced yet? Is he alive? Well, he rang.
He
did sound a bit schmozzled.
Yeah.
And then he's hung up. He couldn't wait. I was going to chuck him on before Paddy Walsh, but we wanted to treat Paddy Walsh to one of Sports A's locals. Mm. Hey, time to get into our hot topic tonight, thanks to Apple iSports for the fans. Now, I can't believe this, and I actually heard this morning on Pat and Hill's breakfast show on SENQ and Brizzy, and I could not believe that people are piling on Steve Smith. There's talk now that he shouldn't be opener for the test series coming up in November. Late November it starts, 5 test series.
So against
India.
So we're at 8 months.
We've got 8 months.
Okay. I forgot the second test was on. And I love my test cricket.
It was a great finish.
Yeah, it was a great finish. I mean, the Kiwis, and we spoke to the Kiwi listeners the next day, or the day of actually, and they're really disappointed with the way that finished off. You know, Alex Carr is outstanding. And but in saying that, it doesn't surprise me with the Steve Smith. Now again, like, I mean, when you look across since he started as an opener, he hasn't been great.
Well, mate, he got 2 tests ago, he got 90.
Yeah, he did. But as an opener, you've always expected to get off to a good start.
Didn't he make a century in one of the tests? I think in Brisbane.
Not sure.
I think he made some runs. But
what we do is we look at the latest.
But see, we don't know. We don't know what we're basing this on.
Our top order has been poor, but very poor.
But no, not everyone's gotten runs, right? Mm. And, mate, I was dead against Green. Goes out and gets 170-something. Mm. But that at least one or two of them performing, and we haven't lost since Brisbane.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
And we're winning.
Yeah, we're winning. But even with wins, you've still got to look at some of the flaws that are surfacing in your side. And Australia aren't getting off to good starts. We're relying on...
Well, we did this test.
And we talk about Aussie battlers.
Yep.
This is where cricket has really, for Australia and New Zealand, where one person, when required, has gone above and beyond to save an Australian or a New Zealand innings. And, for example, you know, our good mate Ian Healy, for so many years, if our top order failed, he'd come in and get a half century and just stabilise the innings.
But that's still happening, Sats.
It's happening probably far too often now, is what I'm trying to say.
But
so the argument around Steve Smith, I don't agree with, because he's going to be, by the time he retires, he'll be one of our greatest batters of all time.
He's only 34 years of age.
Yeah.
He's only 34. Usman Khawaja's 37.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, so he's got 3 years on Uzi.
Mm.
He's still got, mate, he
Champions
should be.
Champions find their way. They find their way.
And the thing about Steve Smith, mark my words, he's one innings away from another 100. And I know it sounds cliche, and it's like saying, you know, a loss is as good as a win. But mate, this guy, we should not be throwing him out. We won the test series against New Zealand. And we will beat India here in Australia if everyone is fit.
Well, this is coming from, you know, from some corners of, you know, the journos and fans, whatever it may be, of the game that have no influence at all. But we know that.
They won't be changing.
They won't change because they're winning. But while you win, it gives you a little bit more breathing space to work on some of the weaknesses in you. And at the moment, our opening partnership is a bit of a weakness, not based on their records, based on their current forms. But when you win, it gives you an opportunity to at least.
But someone's stepping up.
Give yourself time to work on
it. How good's Marsh been? Mate, let's go back. Mm. And the problem is now because of social media. That's all it is. There's easy access. Everyone's got an opinion, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but coaches don't listen to that.
No, but you go back to the olden days, the great days of Australian olden days. Mate, Mark Taylor, I think, went about 40-odd innings without getting a 50.
Greg Chappell went 8 innings with ducks and came out and got a double century.
But you know what? We kept. I mean, Steve Waugh. How close was Steve Waugh to being dropped? He struggled and ended up making that 100 or 200 against the West Indies, where he took on Curtly Ambrose. Like, we're winning. Don't change the formula. Because who says the next guy is going to be better than Steve Smith opening the batting? I just think it's ridiculous. A country, though, we should be looking at is England cricket. Isn't that right?
Yeah, well, it's a little bit laughable at the moment. And, of course, losing that one of the test matches, what, a couple of months ago, 6 weeks ago, where they got beaten by close to 500 runs and came out and blamed someone else for their loss. But I've got to say, someone, and I don't know who the audio is from.
It's the Cricketer Mag.
Is it?
Yeah.
So this is a journalist from the Cricketer Mag. His opinion, his honest opinion about English cricket and especially baseball.
I've got a lot of respect for Brendan McCullum, and he does have huge charisma. I don't think he's a good coach at all. I think he's an absolute myth of a man. It's an absolute. What does he do? He talks in these sort of cliched inspirational poster nonsense. He's got them deluded into thinking they're better than they are. There's no insight or honesty about their faults, and because of that, there's no attempt to rectify them. And I really do think English cricket needs to take a deep breath and have an honest conversation about where it really is, because they're not that good. I mean, you know, I would love that to be proved wrong, but it is over a year since they've won a T20 international series. It is over a year since they've won a test series. They are eighth in the World Test Championship table, and they did get a hell of a stuffing in the ODI World Cup. So what are we basing all this feel-good stuff on? There's a lot of hype, hyperbole, and I get the impression that people are a bit reluctant to call it out because it's sort of feel-good.
There's a couple of words in there brutal. I don't understand.
Brutal.
It is, but it's honest.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And Baz...
I do love what Brendan McCullum's trying to do. I do like how he's trying to mix it up a little bit with test match cricket.
It's not working.
How you attack it. But you've got to pick and choose your battles. You can't go into every game with that same mentality. But there are some countries you could play against, some continents you can play against where you can play that style of cricket.
Yeah, but what it does, it covers up a lot of shortcomings.
Mm.
Oh, because we're playing aggressive cricket and we're going to lose our... No, you're losing games. They are having moral victories. We understand that.
Hmm.
But you know the worst thing has come out of that? It's now seeping into, if you remember the comments from Mitchell, the New Zealand player?
Yep.
It's now starting to seep into New Zealand cricket.
Hmm.
And that's frightening. Because it is all about winning, isn't it?
Well, it's all...
Why do you play sport?
It's all it is.
That's right.
Yeah.
Did you ever go out just to be a nice guy?
To play?
Yeah.
Well, you try and be respectful during the whole process, but you've got to do everything you can. You've got to catch and kill your own to get a victory, you know, and make sure you're the right person to stand alongside your teammate and have the same, you know, values about winning those, whatever game it is, whatever sport. So, yeah, moral victories, there's no such thing when you lose.
Would you ditch Steve Smith? Let us know. 0457 736 736 or 8833 New Zealanders, what do you think? Apple iSports. Bringing you the hot topic tonight, your one-stop shop for all things sports. Sats, before we go to Simon Orchard from Greyhounds New South Wales, a couple of texts, please.
Yeah, we're talking about some of the great battlers, sporting battlers in Australia and New Zealand. And g'day, boys. I was at Dan Murphy's at Kiwana about a year ago. That's on the Sunshine Coast, listeners. If there was a bloke, handing out beer samples, I obliged, and the guy looked familiar, but I couldn't put a name to his face. He was a top bloke. We had a bit of a chat and a laugh. 10 minutes later, I was kicking myself. This is Bolo saying this. On my way home, the guy was Steve Bradbury.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a great knockabout guy. Knockabout guy.
He would have been there doing samples of his last man standing.
Yeah, last man standing. Jeff Horn. That man was a battler. Call. Not the most talented boxer, but strong as an ox with a jaw of iron like Rocky, and he took down the great Manny Pacquiao. Not bad for a school teacher from Brisbane. Mick, yeah, it's a good shout-out. Good battler. Got one here also with from Bully. He goes, Kiwi has made a break from the back of the field, but it's way too late. Then he wins the 1982 Melbourne Cup.
What a great
horse. Yeah, the pumper.
Yeah. 158 saying, I hear Gus Gould is planning on signing Steve Smith to play halfback for the Bulldogs immediately. What does Adrian think? Is that Adrian's head just exploding now?
Yeah, probably.
All right, one more Sats. We'll go to the break.
Too many teams, not enough real first graders taking advantage of fans costing cost, and the cost is going to the game, Dennis says. So that's around what we're talking about with, you know, a senior draft. And Daniel's got some opinions about a senior draft, which we touched on, you know, the national values on players and whatever it may be. But and he said Terry Hill sued the game back in the 90s because he got drafted to a club he didn't want to go to. But, yeah, there was money involved in that. And, yeah, we're in a new world now, a professional era, where it's a lot easier to have a senior draft as opposed to what was happening back in the 90s.
Well, if you want to play NRL... And if you go down that path, then that's part of playing the game.
Yeah.
If you don't want to be part of a draft, then don't play.
An average in 2024, an average of $401,000 a year.
Not bad coin, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
I know you put your body through hell and there's a short lifespan.
Yep.
But still not bad compensation. Break time. When we come back, Simon Orchard's got a Greyhounds New South Wales update for us next.
The new, refined, 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back in a moment. We're back. The new, refined, 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Hello, welcome back to the show. We're about to get out of here. I hear you say, thank God. We'll be back tomorrow night with a $200 KFC voucher up for grabs. Plus, we'll be live from Suncorp Stadium ahead of the Broncos versus Bunnies game, which you can catch live tomorrow night on SCN League. You're in the commentary, Drury Forbes and Little Macca.
Yep.
Andrew McCulloch calling that game tomorrow
He's
night.
He's been trying to ring me. I keep trying to say to him, I'm producing Radio Gold here. Don't try and ring me during the show, Macca.
Right. So that's why he's ringing, because he doesn't believe you.
Yeah.
All right, couple of texts before we go. And the driver's seat. Second show back for the year on After Us tonight.
The Revheads.
Mm.
They're in the house. Good men.
I wouldn't let him into your house, but...
Matty McLemore.
Yes. Stevie and
Johnson.
And Stevie Johnson. Yeah.
Not particularly a sporting figure, talking about great battlers, sporting battlers. Jack Gibbo Gibson is who I see as a classic Aussie battler. In a great sport of rugby league. Tommy from Penrith. Now, the ultimate battler was Curtis McGrath. His story is unlike any. Seriously unbelievable person. Gold medal Paralympian after his army career, the Puttapest. I'll have to go and look at that.
Mm.
Puttapest, Curtis McGrath. Now, from Michael and Wellington, Stacey Flula played for the Black Ferns and the Black Ferns Sevens, joins Codes, migration to sign with the Brisbane Broncos after the Olympics. Yeah, I don't know her background. Hey, Scotty, did you ever get close to getting recruited by the Newcastle Knights growing up in the coalfields? Your family came to mind, Scotty, Sporty Gab. No, Sporty Gab, but every time I get asked the question, what club would have you loved to have played for? It's always the Newcastle Knights. Would have been a great place. It would be a great place to play rugby league, Newcastle. Mm. Good day, fellas. Good call. Here's a name for you. Leo Dinover is a battler. Andrew Johns was injured in 97, had a lot of season off. Leo carried them through to the grand final where Joey came back. Well, he played the finals, Joey. He had a punctured lung against Parramatta, Joey, and he took that into the grand final. But you're right, Leo Dinover, he gracefully sat out the grand final and the Knights won. Yeah, he was a real battler. He was. That's from the one-armed bandit in Bulladilla. He was a good player, Leo Dinover. Very, very tricky player to defend against. And also, Mickey G says... thanks for the entertainment tonight, guys. You're not a flog, Jace.
Thank you, Mickey.
Scotty, I had five people on the work vehicle today say they agree you were a late bloomer. It's been a while since I've had simultaneously laughter on the bus.
Yeah.
Mickey G.
Bus driver. Hey, here's a text here. Boxing on tonight, Sats.
Yeah, Sammy Goodman.
Sam Goodman fighting tonight.
Yeah, so it's one
in
of the
Wollongong,
no limits.
Isn't it?
It's in Wollongong. And one of the undercards, Sammy Goodman's a good fight. He'll fight for a world title, but... one of the undercards is Curtis Scott against BJ Leilua.
What about the trash talk? Is Curtis Scott going, I don't know which chin to hit?
Yeah, he's actually got good trash talk. BJ Leilua was pitiful sledging. He needs a really good schooling in sledging.
Scott would belt him, won't he, Curtis Scott?
I don't know.
Has BJ Leilua actually got the fitness?
Don't know. He's had a fight against Chris Heinington. He actually didn't look too bad. So I'm going to be watching that. It'd be good.
What else was there? Oh, most of this is from 556, talking about Australian cricketers. Most of the batsmen struggled in New Zealand. I'd keep Smith as opener, but there'll be a lot of pressure if he doesn't perform in the first two tests against India. And that is a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
Pick a squad for the first two tests, then have a look at it again. So.
And Cam just said to finish off, can you call Adrian back and tell him Hazem Al Masri's try in 2004 was a double movement
oh,
in the grand final?
I got the headache.
Did Adrian play Vivian in the Young Ones? Crime scene said.
All right, I'm going to go. We're making way for those bogans of Australian radio. Steve Johnson, Matt McKeldin. They've got the driver's seat coming up in just a moment on our SEN stations. We'll be back tomorrow night live from Suncorp. Thanks for getting involved in the show tonight. Catch you tomorrow. See you, Satsy.
See ya.
Good night.